南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Hi friends, thank you for your practice. Thank you for being here. Today's topic, one of those very, very critical ones that is so often, too often, misunderstood. And I may actually have to do this one in two parts. We talk about it often, I certainly do, but still it bears a strong discussion, certainly a vital part of a Buddhist reference book, yeah? Earthly desires. And Nichiren talked about this. He has a whole doctrine on the earthly desires are enlightenment. It comes from the Lotus Sutra. Comes from Shakyamuni. It comes from 50 years of Shakyamuni's teachings. And how it can still be misunderstood, misconstrued, well, I'll write that off to the greed, manipulativeness, and stupidity of humanity. Which Shakyamuni said in our era, in our age and time, would be rampant. Well, yeah. Earthly desires, the root of unhappiness. What is the cause of suffering? In Buddhism, while it is taught that there are four sufferings from which no one can escape in samsara, remember samsara, that condition of the mind that is completely enwrapped by identification, discrimination, identification of data, the big data warehouse, that is all the stuff that we crave and cling and identify in order to claim some idea, identification of self. Birth, old age, sickness, and death are all intertwined parts of this identification. There are many other hardships and worries in addition to the above mentioned four with which we are constantly beset in our daily lives, as we, of course, in the cycle of birth, death, rebirth. The question is, how do these endless troubles come about? And where do they come from? Same question, different way of looking at it. If we can penetrate the origin of suffering and transform its root function, then we should be able to eliminate unhappiness and suffering from our lives. Make sense? In accordance with the Gosho's statement about the three paths of earthly desire, karma, action, and suffering, Buddhism explains that suffering arises from samsaric action having negative repercussions to our karma, which is in turn born from earthly desires. See also the Engine of Life in the first volume, right? Number two, what are earthly desires? Klesa, quote unquote, the Sanskrit word for earthly desires, is translated as meaning, quote, that which possesses a polluted heart. Interesting use of the word heart, right? Heart being used in common vernacular as our facility to empathize, to attach, to be with, yes? Or, quote, that which causes distress, quote unquote, which is another way of saying the same thing. Anytime you're attached to something, distress follows, good or bad. Important to note. The classical Chinese characters for earthly desires translate as some of the following, quote, temptation, or losing oneself, driven by evil paths and unclean or polluted. Hinayana Buddhism uses another word for earthly desires, zuimin, or zuimin, literally to accompany sleeping or unenlightened. This word is used because earthly desires do not appear on the surface, but lay dormant deep within the recesses of the heart-mind. Quite disconnected from an individual's consciousness, these desires will come into function in accordance with the outside stimuli being encountered. The duality of the world, of the cosmos, right? This is a critical point as we tend to externalize the emotions and feelings in our minds and place them on the things or conditions in our environments as the providers or the progenitors of our sensations. You see what happens there? We don't own our sensation. We blame or put the source of our sensations on exterior things. That's part of that weird, polluted mechanism of identification. By saying this about that, we're actually saying something about ourselves. We do this constantly, right? This is the very action of craving and clinging that binds us to our physical realms of samsara. Our physical realms, in other words, of our ideation, our mental machinations, called samsara. As can be understood from these interpretations, earthly desires function both to cause anguish in the human mind and body, and to obstruct the correct path to the attainment of Buddhahood, of course. They're like endless off-ramps. 3, kinds of earthly desires. It is taught that the theory on the attainment of one consciousness, the Joyu Yushiki Ron, that earthly desires are divided between the basic fundamental earthly desires and their derivatives, the accompanying earthly desires. The fundamental earthly desires are attachment, anger, stupidity or blind to reason, arrogance, doubt with disbelief in the law, hesitation, and views clinging to heretical views. The 5 desires, the first 5, are known as the 5 delusion or delusive passions. And the 3rd, stupidity, is sometimes also called ignorance or spiritual darkness. We next present the 20 kinds of accompanying earthly desires: anger, bearing of grudges, deceit, worry, jealousy, stinginess, lying, flattery, pride, to cause injury, cruelty, shamelessness, brooding, ostentation, disbelief, sloth, neglect, laziness, self-indulgence, mindlessness, and creation of disturbances, and finally, adherence to incorrect information. We've heard the term in recent years, willful ignorance. Yeah? That's an actual earthly desire born of a combination of arrogance, stupidity, anger. You can see how all of these things interpenetrate, right? Buddhism is full of this kind of dissection. What are the 3 illusions? In his Makashikan, the great Buddhist master Tendai explained that all earthly desires, which are illusions, are divided into 3 kinds. They are called the 3 illusions, the 3 spheres. And they consist of illusions of thought and desires, illusions innumerable as particles of dust and sand, and illusions about the true nature of life, which you can see are really three ways of looking at the same thing, right? This is the truth of Namo Myoho Renge Kyo is a singular, obvious truth, the engine of life. This is how all phenomena exist. They arise, they abide, and they dissolve. All phenomena. Even our likes and dislikes, yes? The entire cosmos works this way, as so do you and I. We have this remarkable facility of a mind to be able to observe that truth, but that mind, as I've pointed out before, and what this is pointing out here, is a product of this physical realm. And therefore, by default, enamored with, attached to, swimming in this physical realm, preoccupied completely. But the mind doesn't have to be stuck there. Our heart does, our fingers do, our skull does, because they are the fact of arising, abiding, and disillusioning. But the mind, which emerges from this amazing, fantastic truth, this mechanism, can perceive differently. It isn't locked in to the physical. We can perceive the ultimate truth of the entire process. Beholden only to it, the amazement of the process itself. Buddhahood. That mindset is constantly obfuscated by samsara. Thus we chant every day to reopen the Gohonzon mind for the Buddha eye to be functioning, to be aware, to be alive, lest we fall right back into our samsaric hells, yes? The first one, illusion of thought and desire, or in Japanese, kenjiwaku. The Japanese word kenjiwaku refers to illusions of thought, kenwaku, and illusions of desire, shiwaku. And because they are the cause of suffering in the threefold world and the six paths, they are known as worldly illusions, right? Illusions born of our saha world, our physical cosmos. Within the threefold world and the six paths. Hell, hunger, animality, nin, or tranquility, sometimes called humanity, right? Did I say anger? And rapture. Those are all functions of the physical experience. But you get up to learning, realization, bodhisattva, and Buddhahood. Well, those are mental. Those aren't of the physical. See, the division's already there. Our mind knows this. This is why it is said Buddhahood is inherent. We just don't use it. Not predominantly anyway. Further, because they are illusions which people of the three vehicles of learning, realization, and bodhisattva share in common and should suppress, another term for these illusions is shared illusions. Interesting, right? Shared with the possibly enlightened mind or the potentially enlightened mind. Illusions of thought are learned illusions, referring to confusion about the reason of worldly matters, and are called mistaken ideas. Kenwaku are further divided into two groups of five, respectively called the five rishi, or reasoning devices, and the five donshi, the subtle devices. The five rishi are shiken, the self-centered view that we exist as independent individuals. Another aspect is Gashokin, or the view that we own or possess things, right? You hear me talk about this all the time. This is the craving and clinging disease, that we actually possess things. But in reality, moment to moment to moment to moment, we're grasping air. The theory of emptiness, yes? The concept of emptiness. With Henkin, there are two one-sided views, Duncan being the view that our being ceases at death, while Jokin is the view that after death, we exist as eternal individual souls, right? Those are illusions. Those are born of the desire to be a self, an eternal self. That's so conceited and arrogant. Three, Jokin denies the law of cause and effect. That doesn't affect me. I'm different, right? Kinjukin, attachment to the above three distorted views as well as belief in the superiority of things which are actually inferior. Well, we can talk all day on that, yeah? And Gaigon Shuken includes a distorted view of cause and effect and belief in heretical religious' assertions that theirs are correct paths to enlightenment. Kaishuken is adherence to the prohibitive Hinayana, heretical precepts against evil conduct. Goshuken is attachment to the austerities of these heretical religions. So you might say he's reversing his own teachings, but that's not the case. As we've already studied quite a lot, in an effort to keep people from straying from the teachings, because it takes effort to reach Buddhahood. In his earlier teachings, in the first 40 years or so of his teachings, he had to keep people inspired, and he gave them a temporary respite, a temporary goal, because to achieve Buddhahood just seemed undoable. So he said, okay, at least reach Nirvana. And then it wasn't until the Lotus Sutra, which we've studied quite exhaustively, that he made sure that all those Hinayanas, all those earlier students who'd stayed with him for sometimes decades, 40 years, he explained that that was just a temporary respite, that you actually can attain Buddhahood right now in this life. You don't have to wait. I said Nirvana was your goal in this life so that you would keep studying and I hoped, and I'm speaking as Shakyamuni here, I hoped that by the time you started to understand how your mind works, what the truth is, that you would come to this on your own, but you haven't. So now let me spend the last 8 years of my life straightening you out so that you can attain Buddhahood exactly as I did. There's no difference between you and I. Remember, this is the thought-breaking shakubuku, if you will, of the Lotus Sutra within the 50 years of Shakyamuni's teachings. And so here we're discussing it again in the concepts of earthly desires are enlightenment, which we're still setting it up. I understand we haven't gotten to Nichiren's breakthrough doctrine, but his doctrine, it doesn't have the profundity that it deserves if you don't understand how it comes about. So this is what we're reading now. Where are we time-wise? And we're doing good. Because the above are based on ideology and are incisive earthly desires that can immediately be eliminated through understanding of correct reasoning, these illusions are called reasoning devices. But devices are very, very, very powerful, right? All of the teachings of Buddhism are devices. Because ultimately, Buddhahood is only experienced by you. And I don't mean as an idle, passive object. I mean as the progenitor, you have Buddhahood, but you haven't learned how to make it rule your mind. You haven't learned how to keep it awake and engaged. This is the whole ball of wax here, the whole nine yards. Training your mind to be all that it can be, to reach your full potential. It's there. Simply needs to be awakened, as a manner of speaking. Engaged. Start that engine. That engine of life. Ooh, that was slick. Contrary to these, the five Danshi refer to the first five of the above mentioned fundamental earthly desires: attachment, anger, stupidity, arrogance, and doubt. Even when we are careful to avoid these errors, because these illusions possess characteristics that we cannot instantly eradicate, they are referred to as subtle devices. Subsequently, illusions of desire, shiwaku, also known as illusions pervading all life, are emotional illusions which arise instinctively. And by instinctively, you should understand these are the tendencies and conditions of our karmic freight train. We're kind of designed to crave and cling in order to be. And include four of the five subtle devices: attachment, anger, stupidity, and arrogance. According to Hinayana training, the level of one who has severed himself from kenwaku, illusions of thought, is called kendo, or to see the path, while the level of one who has severed himself from shiwaku, illusions of desire, is called shudo, to master the path. Further, the level of one who has severed himself from both kenwaku and shiwaku can either be called magukudo, not study the path, or arakan, or arhat. And this was thought to be the greatest accomplishment attainable in Buddhism as a provisional teaching to keep people inspired, working on this thing that seems so palpable, yes? Until the Lotus Sutra, until Mahayana comes in and says, that's great, you've gotten there. Unfortunately, you haven't gotten the bigger picture by getting there, so we need to break you of this too, so that you can see well beyond it. And now that you've accomplished this, you should be able to understand enlightenment fully right now. However, in terms of the numbers of illusions, there are 88 illusions of thought and 81 illusions of desire. In Japanese society, earthly desires are numbered according to the 108 times temple bells are struck to ring out the old year and bring in the new. There's that 108 number, right? 108 beads in that inner circle represents all our illusions of samsara, our desires, our cravings and clingings. And amongst those 108, we add four more, the bodhisattva beads, right, which on this are clear, they're crystals. There are four of them, right, in the Nichiren doctrine beads. However, in terms of the numbers of illusions, there are, but the number 108 actually comes from an assortment of illusions of thought and desire. This is the number of regular beads in our juzu, as I was just explaining. Number two, illusions innumerable as particles of dust and sand. Of course, you should already be thinking, well, this is going to show up as 3,000 realms in a single thought moment, isn't it? Certainly within Nichiren's doctrine, it does. But let's read on. These illusions, Jinjawaku, together with a third group, illusions about the true nature of life, Mumyowaku, can only be eradicated by bodhisattvas, and are therefore Betsuwaku, distinct illusions. Because these illusions do not belong to the sphere of the six paths, they are also referred to as outer world illusions. So these are illusions of the mind, specifically. The Japanese word jinja means dust and sand. Just as these words imply minuteness, so the word jinja indicates the infinite and countless, because this is about potential. When a Mahayana bodhisattva tries to lead mankind with these obstacles, such as a bodhisattva needs to communicate countless teachings, the countless illusions which arise from the study of such teachings are called jinjawaku, or illusions innumerable as particles of dust and sand. These are the communications in language that create obstacles, because they allow for every manner of ideologies, identification, dissections, discriminations. How many arguments have you witnessed, if not been a part of yourself, that were so semantical? Oh, so when you say this word, what you really mean is this string of words. Well, maybe some of that, but none of that, but that, and on it goes. Third, illusions about the true nature of life, mumyawaku. These illusions are the foundation of all earthly desires which obstruct one from attaining enlightenment to the truth of the middle path, Buddhahood. Until Shakyamuni's perfect teaching, the combined Lotus and Nirvana Sutras, it was stipulated that there were 42 stages one must pass before achieving the highest stage of Buddhahood. Yeah, you've read that, I'm sure. Each stage along the way has its own illusions about the true nature of life, from which a bodhisattva must extricate him or herself. Gotta let those go. They will lead you nowhere. The final illusion to be overcome before attaining the 42nd stage is known as fundamental darkness, or primal ignorance. Nichiren states in the treatment of illness, quote, "The fundamental nature of enlightenment manifests itself as Bonten and Taishaku, whereas the fundamental darkness manifests itself as the devil of the sixth heaven." Dairaku Tenomao. Remember that one? This passage explains that just before a person reaches enlightenment, the fundamental darkness changes into the form of the devil of the sixth heaven, who tries in every way possible to prevent that person from attaining Buddhahood. Your most fundamental ingrained tendencies to, whether it's doubt or deny, whatever that deep down fundamental samsaric delusion is, it will manifest itself in any number of ways through the Saha world, Mara, to derail you from your enlightenment. It can happen as you're chanting to the mandala. This errant thought will course through your body and you'll disconnect. You'll slam that Gohonzon mind door. And then you have to redouble your efforts. Namo myoho renge kyo. Awaken, open that Buddha eye. Number five, what are the causes of earthly desires? Because our suffering arises from earthly desires, what then is the origin of earthly desires? A passage from the Yugashigiron, the treatise on the stages of yoga practice, says, quote, "It is said that there are six kinds of causes for earthly desires. The first kind is due to outer appearance. A second is due to religion. The third is due to close intimacy. The fourth is due to heretical teachings. And the fifth is due to instruction. And the sixth is due to the intention to act. Can we take those apart real quick? Because I know you've heard me talk about these in different ways. For instance, the first kind is due to outer appearance. Our first level of attachment is visual, isn't it? The second is due to religion. Well, there it is. What Shakyamuni would call habit energy, right? To take at face value without further inspection. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do anywhere. And it is the singular motive operandi of religion. Just take this on, what's the word? Oh, I hate this word profoundly. Faith. Just take it on faith. Don't use your mind. Don't use your reason. Don't use your capacity for critical thinking. Just accept. Follow along. The third is due to close intimacy, because if I'm caressing you and I whisper into your ear, just believe. You know, oh, I like this. Okay. The fourth is due to heretical teachings. No, I say to you that fire is cooling and water will burn you. The confusion that causes, if you buy into it, oh, how can you even begin to reason? That is the world of anger, manipulation, backstabbing your mind. The fifth is due to instruction. Do this, do that. Just do. Don't question. And the sixth is due to the intention to act. Because at that moment, when you take on from all of those others the dutiful act, now your attitude has been completely kerfuddled. So therefore, your intent is some mode of satisfying these delusions and what kind of mix of ignorance, delusion, stupidity, avarice, greed for affection, whatever, that whole milieu in your intention. Buddhism is about what? Attitude and intent. The reason that we refute heretical teachings and warn against close intimacy with slander is the heretical teachings and slander are causes for earthly desire and become causes for unhappiness. But I go far deeper than this in my discussions of the engine of life, right? The origins of life. Look at those videos. The way that quiescent energy gets jostled into formations, right? Shakyamuni talks about formations. This is where all the karma begins. And as it takes form, that makes it the freight train that it is, instantiates it into the realm of form. Now it's locked in, and that's what it does until we nudge it, influence it. And we're doing that all the time, but are we influencing it from all of these delusions? Taking instructions and our intentions are all muddled up? Or do we clarify our mind with Buddhahood and therefore nudge and influence our karmic freight train toward enlightenment. Hinayana Buddhism, earthly desires contradict but are endowed with enlightenment. Hinayana Buddhism explains that a person cannot attain enlightenment unless he extinguishes earthly desire. Does that mean evaporate everything that's physical? Annihilation? No. In the extreme, Hinayana teachings use a term which means to burn the physical body to ashes and extinguish wisdom of the heart, to say that reaching the highest life condition of enlightenment is impossible unless a person goes as far as to destroy the body. But that too is delusion. That falls under instruction. False instruction, which then gives you the intent to do what so many monks have done over the centuries and burn themselves whole in a public square. What a tragic interpretation of Buddhism. No, 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 no. Completely wrong. The eradication of desires isn't the burning of the flesh. It's the burning of the attachments. The mental attachments, burn those. This is a vehicle for enlightenment. This is a vehicle for bodhisattvaness, to help save all people from their suffering, take them away from their delusions. Without this body of flesh and blood, there is no Gohonzon, there is no Buddhahood. How can you be so opposite the truth? Arrogance, ignorance, all combined. The Lotus Sutra explains, quote, without eradicating earthly desires or ridding oneself from desires arising from the five senses, the desire to please the skandhas, yes, one will purify the various senses and eradicate various offenses. Kanfugen Sutra. Through the lotus method, through enlightening our Buddha mind, all of these things which have historically created suffering can now be the windows to Buddhahood. Don't get rid of them. Don't annihilate them. Annihilate the samsara, the mental conditioning. This passage teaches that without eradicating earthly desires, we can convert them into enlightenment just as we are. In the teaching of the true body, Nichiren states, quote, a person who honestly discards the provisional teachings and wholeheartedly believing in the Lotus Sutra chants only Namu Myoho Renge Kyo will transform the three paths of worldly desires, evil karma, and suffering into the three virtuous fortunes of enlightened life, Buddha wisdom, and a free mind, an illusion-free mind. Nichiren teaches us that when we chant to the mandala of Gohonzon, of the three great secret laws, with pure resolve, our earthly desires become the cause for enlightenment, and our mortal bodies, just as we are, can attain the life condition of Buddha. Earthly desires are enlightenment. So, this is yet another discussion on earthly desires and enlightenment. I could go on and on and on. It is a huge central topic to our understanding of what is Buddhism, why do we practice it, how does it work, right? But at least I hope that this entry into Buddhism reference will help identify for you insights in your understanding, right? It absolutely does not mean that you can chant for stuff. It's diametrically opposed to that kind of idea. So how that came to be the predominant thought in huge groups and swaths and sects, I don't even want to know the reasons for that. It's just simply horribly wrong. Namo Myoho Gekyo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your practice. Please help support this endeavor, this resource. Your buying of e-books or print books, mandalas, patrons through Patreon, through PayPal. Namo Myoho Gekyo. You are true bodhisattvas. Really, just linking and liking and subscribing itself. It's a free, easy act, and it is an act of propagation. It helps the algorithms present this resource to more people. I'm very grateful to have you as good friends, and I hope you make full use of this resource, not just these videos, but of course the podcast, all the free documents and research information on threefoldrose.com. Keep your practice strong, take care of your health, and I'll see you in the next one. All right, with love and respect, bye for now.